If we were two fat expats and we could find our way, we'd take back those goodbyes with good friends and make them stay. If I could reach the gin, I'd give it all to you. Then you'd love me like you used to do.
Oh my God, you were so sure in that last
And bit. I'm wearing the outfit, everyone.
Oh, Stairs, how are you? Here we are.
Episode. I've just had a vision of me in that outfit and it is not good.
She was so good in that outfit. When was that? Like 86?
Yeah, like 86, 87. I remember it was like number one forever on Smash Hits.
Yeah.
And, on Rage. And I remember Dad would always come out and watch that film clip.
Or maybe, 87, 88.
Yeah, like late 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved it.
So good.
It was so good. So it says this week we're going to talk about what happens when your child graduates and moves to a new country.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen a lot sooner for you than it is for me.
It is, because this is what's interesting for me about this episode is we've looked at children going off to university and how that process happens and what happens. And, of course, I am not going through that process because I'm sending my daughter off to school.
Yes.
She's going to go to boarding school.
Uh-huh.
Such an awful term to say, I'm sending her off. My Lizzie has chosen,
To go to boarding
school. To go to boarding school because she doesn't want to be the new kid at uni in a new country. And so it's been really interesting for me to interview someone and talk to other mums about how it happens, because for me, for one thing, it's cemented that it's very different in America than it is
that
in Australia.
That whole college life in America is completely different, isn't
it? I wish we had that college life. Yeah. I'm envious of that college
life. I always used to watch
life.
Those movies and stuff. I want to go to university in America.
I know.
And they all wear the T-shirts and sororities.
Yeah.
And
even when you talk to your American friends about their college days, I've never heard anyone say, oh, I hated it.
No, and they still go back for all of their reunions and they still wear their school rings.
And follow their college basketball teams.
Yeah,
and
like
college teams.
Football, like college sport in general is huge.
It is.
Huge.
It is.
Yeah.
And we just do not have that in Australia.
I mean, the Sydney University Rugby Colts were lucky to get 50 people at their game. But it made it easier for me because I could pash more boys.
Right. Mm. We had the Adelaide University footballers. They were called the All Blacks, which is funny. Or just the Blacks. Sorry, not the All Blacks, but and there was oodles of teams up from the semi-professional to the guys that couldn't find a shirt to fit them.
Yeah.
and they were sort of more renowned for their partying ways.
Oh yeah, my uncle was the coach of a couple of the Sydney University teams.
It's just the true difference between Australians and Americans that
I'm thinking
university sport is all about the party afterwards.
Yeah,
like there was an actual routine that happens with Adelaide University. They have an evening where there's all sorts of rituals that are performed, and it's really more about the drinking and the process than it is about the sport. Whereas college basketball and football in America, no.
They have to get their marks to stay in, like they have to get above average marks and everything to stay in, don't they?
Yeah.
Coaches get paid a fortune.
Yes, players get paid nothing.
I know.
Weird, isn't it? But we're
digress.
Off track. We've digressed. So this week I went off and I spoke to Daniel, and I think maybe if we kick off with that interview, because then we've sort of got somewhere
Daniel
to go.
From?
The reason I really wanted to speak to Daniel is that he is the epitome of the expat child.
Right.
His parents, his mother is Scottish, his father is American, and they met in The Hague while they were on an expat assignment. And Daniel is at university in the States, and I wanted to talk to him. I guess I kicked off by asking him a bit about his history and then how he made his choices.
Yeah.
And we'll have a listen to Daniel and see how that went.
I was born in the Netherlands where my parents met, and then I moved to England next, where I lived for about 5 or 6 years. From there, we moved to Texas for about another 6 years, and then Qatar for around another 6.
You graduated in Qatar.
Yes.
And having a Scottish mum, how did you choose where you were going to go to university? Like, was there ever any discussion about maybe you should go back to Scotland?
My mom made lots of discussion about that. I definitely toured UK schools, but I was in the AP program in school, and that's more accepted in America.
Uh-huh.
So that was a large part of me going back.
Did you have a feeling about where you wanted to be? Like, if someone says to you, and this is a terrible question for a kid like you, where are you from? What do you say?
Depends who I'm talking to. Most of the time I'm just like, that's a long answer. Do you have like 5 minutes? I'll typically just say that I lived in Qatar for the last 7 years of my life, because it's where I associate myself with almost the most, which is weird.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because you guys have got a house back in the States, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
Right, but no house back in the UK?
No.
So do you think maybe there's not that kind of bond back in the UK? Or?
Definitely not. I mean, the only time we go back is really to see family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that means I associate the UK more with my family. And the same with where my dad grew up. Whereas, like, Texas, where we still have our house, I sort of associate with, like, summer home and stuff.
When you were deciding which university to choose, what was the major decider?
The major decider for me was mostly the program at the school.
Right.
Because I had an idea of what I wanted to study, except I wasn't. Because I wanted to study engineering, but I didn't know what type of engineering. So the school that I chose had a good, like, first-year program to help find your way, basically. So that was a big decision in where I ended up. I didn't really choose schools based on, like, where I'd lived in America or anything.
Right. So in that final year of school, I mean, there's 76 different nationalities at the high school that you went to.
Yep.
And everybody starts with, some kids are doing IB, some kids are doing AP, and you've got people from everywhere. How did that feel like when you're graduating? I mean, a lot of people won't identify with a graduating year where everyone is just going everywhere. How did that kind of feel when you're saying goodbye?
It sucked, obviously, saying goodbye to my friends, because all my friends are everywhere. I've got like 4 in America, probably 2 or 3 in Canada, and the rest are all in Europe or Australia. And it's like, okay,
yeah,
lots of these people I won't see, at least for a really, really long time. So, I mean, we just had the most fun as we could while we were here, just made the most of it. And then now I know wherever I go in the world, I've got a friend there, which is interesting.
Do you think expat kids just learn to make the most of it wherever they are?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you have to, otherwise.
Yeah, you don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And now that you've sort of arrived at university, walk me through that, because I imagine you are studying with a lot of kids who have been in the same hometown or home state or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I actually went to university with my best friend.
That's
from
handy.
Qatar. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It worked out pretty weird. So we roomed together. And that definitely helped us meet people, because people saw that we were already, like, friendly together. So they wanted to be our friend rather than us having to go out and make friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was sort of beneficial. I honestly did not struggle at all to make friends, because I feel like I was really used to meeting new people. So, like, I knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And also people were, like, intrigued by my life.
Right. So do you think that's it? People are more intrigued and friendlier about it rather than alienated?
I mean, you get a little bit of both. Some people are more like wanting to talk to you about it and curious about like what's happening, or others are like, "Ha, that's weird," and then just move on. It depends on the person, really, what your response is.
And how have you found your international education has set you up for university?
I feel like it set me up pretty well. I mean, because of the APs that I took, I was able to skip some classes when I got to college. But I mean, like, it was still tough. I don't know. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, I guess.
Yeah. So you've survived the first year.
Yeah. Yep.
And how have you found the culture shock? I mean, has there been any culture shock at all?
A little bit. But honestly, it wasn't as bad as I expected, because I went to a college town. There's nothing really else there. It's not in the middle of, like, a big city. So,
yeah.
I mean,
no
matter what, it was going to be, like, weird. It's weird for everyone.
From talking to friends you've made who have been born and bred in America, how do you think their upbringing has been different to yours?
Lots of them had the same group of friends throughout, like, their whole life.
Right.
And then they left all of them, whereas I've had, like, an evolving group of friends. So this is, like, another stage for me. But, I mean, I feel like in the end, we all just ended up as friends, so it doesn't really matter. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's my, like, sixth set of friends or their second. It was still, we just had a great time.
Is there anything you wish you would have known, or do you think you were pretty well prepared?
I was definitely well prepared, but the one thing that I would say is just remember that your friends are there and make sure to have fun with them, like, while you still can. Because there are definitely, like, times where I'm like, oh, I wish I could have, like, seen my friends a bit more. Yeah. I definitely miss them all.
Yeah.
Also, keep in touch with them. Okay. That's always good. We have a group chat of me and my friends, and we just constantly talk over it still, like, what's going on.
Do you have, like, an alumni association? Do you think, could you see yourselves having, like, a 5-year reunion or a 10-year reunion? Or?
I would love to, but the logistics would be pretty tough. Like, where would it be?
Yeah. So you think just make sure that you have a group chat of, like, friends that you've stayed with for support.
Yeah. For sure. It's definitely been nice being able to talk to my old friends.
And how do you think your mum and dad have coped with it? Like, I know your mum. I know the devastation that came.
Yeah.
How have they coped with it?
Obviously, they both were upset by it. My dad had a daughter before who also left to college, so I mean, I think he coped with it a lot easier than my mom did. But I'm constantly getting messages from them, like, every day, like, hey, good morning, like, do you want to Skype today? I'm like, I can't, like, I have a life over here. So you can definitely tell, like, they want to keep in touch, and it's nice. Yeah. I love it, but I love them.
Once you've got your engineering degree, where do you see it going from there? Could you see yourself living an expat life? Or
I could.
Do you think you'd like to just settle in the one? Can you imagine settling in the one place?
I feel like I would like to settle for a little bit, but then definitely move back out. Just sort of, like, I don't know, get somewhat of a basis in my life and then start traveling again. Yeah. I would love to bring my kids up overseas. Wow. I feel like it's opened up my eyes a lot, and I would love for other people to have that experience, especially my kids.
I think Daniel will want me to tell you that he had a very bad cold.
Oh, okay. And I forgot to mention it.
He was amazing. Like, what a well-rounded, mature young man.
I have to say, I sent Daniel's mum a note after I interviewed him because I got out in the car and just thought, what a credit to his parents.
Absolutely.
He's just beautiful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not often that you go to visit sort of a young man. I don't want to call him a teenager because he's not. He's a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But you have such a polite conversation.
Yeah.
And they offer you a glass of water. Uh-huh. And they're sitting there doing a jigsaw
puzzle. So he's back here for a holiday, is he?
So he's come home. And this is an interesting phenomenon for me this year in Doha, is because I have seen a lot of my friends with older children.
Yep.
Their children graduated last year and went off to college, and I've watched all of those parents go through, and it is a grief. It is an absolute grief of your child leaving and and they're going to a different country. And I think the expression Daniel's mum used one evening was, I am grief stricken.
Oh.
And because she was incredibly involved in the school, she still is, and but, you know, he was her firstborn, and off he went, and he was her everything, and he was gone.
Yeah.
And it was awful to
watch. They're there, but they're not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so now what's happened is they've all come home because these are the kids that have other siblings that are here, and they come back. And I actually saw pictures of Daniel at the school prom the other day, so he really has come back.
Yeah.
And they're all hanging out together and sort of spending time together.
Yeah, yeah.
But, of course, not all of them are back. Some of them are back. Some of them have moved on.
And then I guess that's hard for the parents
watching
their friends whose kids have come back.
And I actually had lunch with a girlfriend yesterday who her son is back as well, and she said that she'd heard via other people that the first year they come back, they're okay to come back, but the second year they're not as keen to come back.
Do you think that's because they've become more independent, they're living their own life?
Yeah.
And maybe they're wanting to travel with friends?
Yeah, and I think probably the first year you come back, you suddenly realize it's not the same. Do you know, yes, like everything's yes. changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because you'll have all the memories you have as a school kid here where you yeah. were busy and you were in sport and uh-huh. you maybe had a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you don't have that
You're not
same.
Going to school, but you're not going to work.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Your parents' lives, that you know, your parents are still at work. Yeah, I yeah. can see that.
Yeah.
You and kind of feel like you're in limbo.
Yeah. And I've spoken to a few of the kids and I spoke to another girl who has gone to university in Canada and her father here is a pilot. And yeah, she said she's a bit bored because he's working
mm-hmm.
and there's no one in the house yeah. during the day yeah, yeah. and, you know, there's not a lot to do. So, yeah I think it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm so jealous of the Americans, their whole college set up, because if I knew that Australia had such things as, like, college towns, like where you went yes. to university yes. or...
I think looking back, maybe... somewhere like Bathurst or something is a little yeah. bit of a college town back but home, but
yeah,
not.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No.
And I think a lot, I mean, not every Australian kid, but most Australian kids, if they go off to university, it tends to be in the same city.
Yes.
So you tend to stay at home. You yeah. still live at home. You might get a job at the local supermarket or yeah. the pub or what have you, yeah. but you're still seeing all your friends from school.
Yes.
I mean, when I left school, I didn't go on to university, but most of my friends did, but we still saw each other, you know, we saw yeah. each other on the weekends. Things didn't change.
No.
Whereas from Daniel, that was really the end of an era when he finished school.
It is.
Like that was cut, done.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in an expat world where the kids are moving off to all different countries.
Yeah.
So it's not even like they're all in the States and maybe they can catch up once a year in a certain city. I mean, they're obviously everywhere.
Yeah.
And did he ever talk about, or I wonder if he ever considered going to university here in Doha? Or if that just wasn't...
I don't think so. I didn't ask Daniel that, but I know for other friends I've asked that it's the money, it's the expense of going to university here. And I think also it's a whole different university experience. Uh-huh. I mean, I quite often go down to Georgetown University here to mm-hmm. study or to do work at night, and it's a different university yeah. experience. Yeah. I mean, it's far more multicultural,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, there's not that
it's not
pub,
that college life.
You know, there's no frat houses.
Yeah. 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 I think maybe for parents it would be good for yeah. kids to go to university here, but not so much for the kids. But I just think he's making the most of his life there, and he knows that he'll probably move on. And I love that he's with his best friend, because that would just be such a sense of security, I think, yeah. for him.
And do you know my
they can
neighbor,
conquer it together.
I've got another friend who that's happened. Her son is rooming in Canada with his best friend from school here too. So yeah, I guess you can do it. I think we need to point out too, because Daniel talked about the AP subjects that
yes.
he did, and a lot of people won't understand
yeah,
what
I,
that
I
means.
Didn't understand what that was.
So in the American system, you can do AP subjects in your, you know, last few years of high school,
mm-hmm.
but they are college level subjects. So right. if you've done particularly well in a subject,
mm-hmm.
you might then get asked if you'd like to take AP history or, right. you know, AP English or whatever.
So it's like an accelerated program.
It's like an accelerated right. program, and it means that you kind of knock that subject out of the park for your first year of college.
Mm-hmm.
I know that some people don't do it because they think you should do first year subjects at college with other yeah. first years, mm-hmm. because obviously if you're not going to do that first year subject, you're then going to go into and hang out with second year college yep. students and third year college mm-hmm. students. But also there's that other thing of, well, you've got it out the road and you've yeah. knocked a bit of time off uh-huh. of your degree.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's what he means when he talks about AP. But it's also interesting that because if you accents are a funny thing, because
Do you know, I was going to comment, Daniel has a full-on American accent.
His mother has a full-on Scottish accent.
And that's just because yes. the kids that I know, like even back home, my best friend, her mum's British,
mm.
and Sarah, although she has an Australian accent, there is still some words that she speaks that is a twang.
He yep. had one giveaway. He says us. He doesn't say us. He says uh-huh. us in a very Scottish way.
Right.
But, yeah, he does. He sounds very American, but he has an American father.
Yeah.
So, but, yes, if you spoke to his mother, she has a beautiful Scottish accent,
right.
like gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's funny, isn't
yeah.
it? You wouldn't.
And I was really keen to hear, because there's a lot of talk in the expat world about third culture kids and
yeah.
that they're, it's not good for them, that they don't know where they're from. Now, Daniel, to me, if you're going to put on paper what a third culture kid was.
Yeah.
He's that kid. He's got a mum from Scotland, a dad from America. Mm-hmm. He was born in the Netherlands. He lived everywhere. Yet, hello, this guy is... He's put together. He's mature. He has no issues from what I can tell. Like, he's just a good, normal kid, young man. Yeah.
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it, Sarah? Because there's a lot of stuff written about third culture kids. And I know that... You know, our school is full of counsellors and people that want to help you through this process. And there are many books that have been written. There are movies that have been made. And usually they have a very depressing twist to them.
They do. Whenever I read anything or I watch anything, I think, oh, am I failing as a parent that I shouldn't be concerned?
Yes.
But my philosophy is... If you've got a good, strong family, then you can work through anything. Yeah. And it doesn't matter where you are or where you come from.
Yeah.
Every kid's going to have some type of issue.
Yeah. And I think where you can things can go a little screwy is, yes, a child is not going to know where they're from if you don't teach them.
Yes.
And so we have always been nutty about you have to know how to sing the Australian anthem.
Yes.
You've got to sing lots of material.
It's thongs, it's not flip-flops. Yeah. Yes. Eat Vegemite. I mean, you walk into Sadie's bedroom and her bookshelf is full of Aussie books.
Yeah. And I think we made a very conscious decision 5 years ago when Lizzie was 10 that we had to start taking her home on a regular basis. She had to start making Australian friends. She had to start knowing where she was from and have an address and whatever. It was a conscious decision. I mean, we could, in our summer holidays, go off somewhere else and go and do something else. But we both started to feel that by age 10, she needed to have a bit of it. She needs to have a height chart on the wall where she's marked off and it's her home.
Yeah.
And like when people say, oh, where are you from in Australia? She says, I'm from Port Wollonga because she can envisage a house there. She's got a bedroom. She's got toys. She's got a life.
And see, for us, it's almost the flip because Sadie's only really been here.
So her,
but her height chart is here and her wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because this is that wardrobe is the only wardrobe she's ever had. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And our home's rented out.
Yes.
In Australia. So I guess home for her is my parents' place.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually when she talks about moving back to Australia, she thinks we're gonna live
at your parents' house. Yeah. My kids thought that would be a good idea if we lived at Granny's house.
Yeah.
But I also think, too, we both have spouses who are from the same place that we're from. And that makes a massive difference.
Absolutely.
Because you're not having to – I don't have to negotiate with Greg over where we will spend Christmas and where we will –
That's right.
We know that we're both thinking of heading back to Australia.
Yeah.
I think it gets far more difficult if one of you – you know, is thinking, well, actually, I'd really like my children to be Dutch, and the next person saying, no, well, I'd really like them to be Canadian.
Then
it's really
That's tough.
But I think my thing about my children, and if they ever came to me and said that they felt gypped or that they felt they'd missed out, I would really feel the need to remind them of just how lucky they have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my children have had an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, they've all been born in different countries and maybe they didn't all grow up in the same little town or maybe they didn't go to the same school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they are lucky and I would be so cross if they didn't understand and could not look at children that have so little.
Yep.
And not be able to have the compassion to say, hey, but I have been very lucky to have two parents that love me, be brought up with where we can go on these great holidays, that I have grandparents who adore me, that I get to travel between countries.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's not indulge them too much in this whole woe is me. Because there's military kids travel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, children who are true children of migrants.
Never get to go on an overseas holiday.
Yes.
Do you know, like,
Sadie
has travelled more, been on more holidays than a lot of people a lot older than her.
So
if she ever came to me and said, oh, woe is me, I don't know where I'm from, I don't know my identity, grow up, kid, because do you know what I mean? Let's just, if you've got a good, solid family foundation,
Yes.
You'll be right. You'll get through any hurdles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so while I do understand why the books are written, and I do understand why the movies are made, mm-hmm. and what we have to be careful about, and why our children have to feel that they have roots. I mean, only yesterday Lizzie was telling me she thought it would be much nicer if the boarding school she was going to was full of international kids who are all just like her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, it would be. But that's just not the way the world works. And there has to be a certain stage with your child where you just say, hey, think about the good stuff that you've had.
Yeah.
And let's just put our big girl pants on and move mm-hmm. on.
Absolutely.
And I know some people might think we're being a bit harsh in that, in our attitude, but I don't know if that's a cultural thing or whatever. Yeah, but I just don't, there are so many children with nothing out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And I think too, you know, there is no right or wrong. I mean, I grew up, I'm sad that my kids didn't get to grow up how I grew up, because mm-hmm. I was raised with a grandmother next door and an auntie across the road and, you know, in the same small town, same uh-huh. people, same comfort. But, you know, it's like saying whether you have one child or four children, there's no right or wrong. There's good bad with both.
Yes, there's pros and cons for everything.
Yeah. So I did think it was really interesting if Daniel had done the IB, mm-hmm. whether he would have ended up in the UK. Who knows? Because he said he did tour UK schools, but the fact that he'd done the AP mm-hmm. meant he was more geared towards an American education.
And does that mean that if you did an AP program and going back to university in Australia, is that better suited, or is the IB program?
IB for sure, because you can measure apples and apples.
Do you think also maybe he might not want to admit it, but college life in America has a big draw card?
Oh, yeah. Although, do you know, I look at all these kids that are looking at St. Andrews and I immediately think of Will and Kate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting with Daniel is we have caught him right at a certain time of his life,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of reminiscing. I don't know if you kind of noticed in that.
Yeah.
He wishes he would have spent more time with his friends.
He's obviously got really different sets of friends, so it was an end of an era when he finished high school. But I love that, you know, social media, it has its flaws, but where it really shines is that he has this chat group with his friends from high school, and he'll probably always be friends with them. They might not see each other for a very long time, or it might only be once every few years, but through social media they can still keep that connection there. And he's cool with the fact that different phases of his life he has different groups of friends.
I love that.
And my hat off to him for that. You know, like he's okay with it. He knows that he hasn't had the same friends since kindergarten, and off they've gone through life together. He's got different sets of friends for different phases of his life.
Yeah, and I loved that phrase he used where he was talking about the people he'd met at college and how they'd all had the same group of friends forever, and now that they were his friends. And he said, it doesn't matter if it's my sixth group of friends or their second set of friends. You know, we're just friends.
Yes.
And I just thought, that's how he sees it.
He's really got his head screwed on.
A group of friends there, and that he can see that and say, well, that's okay if you're talking about those other friends from your other life, because now we're friends and I'm your set of friends from this part.
Yeah.
I know. I agree with you.
He's really got himself together. I think he's going to go a long way. I like Daniel. I'm a big fan. And I feel for his mum, obviously, because, you know, Sadie's seven, university life is a lifetime away. And we actually took her to see Pitch Perfect, the movie, the other day.
Right.
And it's this mum and daughter, and she's off to university for the first time, and she's just hanging on to it with dear life. And I turned to Sadie in the cinema and I said, you know, that's going to be me. And at seven, she rolled her eyes at me like, oh, mum.
Oh,
you know, but we do joke that if she goes to boarding school, she goes off to university, that, well, I'm just going to buy a little apartment in the same town that you're at, or I might just come and live with you in the dorms. And because you just at seven, you want to wrap them in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
You want to protect them from everything, but at the same time, you want your children to be independent. You want them to make mistakes and experience life, and you can't be there for that all the time. And it must be a really tough situation to be in, where you want to have them under your wings and be that mama bear.
And they're in another country.
Yeah, that, like, you can't you're not a couple of hours down the road if something goes wrong.
Yes.
You're a whole world away. And I just, I can't even wrap my head around that, wanting them to go off and be their own person and experience life, but at the same time wishing you could just keep them under your wings.
Yeah. So I guess, says for me, I look at that American way, you know, like we're talking about that, it is very final, isn't it? It's a real, you finish school, you go off to college, that's it. Yeah.
And I think it's something that we don't identify with.
No, not at all.
And even, you know, when I think of Lizzie going to boarding school, it's not the same as her going to university, mm-hmm. because she is somewhere where she's under my wing. Do you know, like...
Yeah, because you've got people on the ground there.
But she's still a child and they will report in and tell me what's going on and I will know exactly
where
she is. You've
got family and friends there to keep an eye on her.
She can't get out without my permission.
Yeah. Be a completely different for them going off to university life where they are young adults making decisions for themselves.
Yes. But also it must be incredible that year 12 process. Like, you know, I know that a lot of people go off and they tour all these different schools and they mm-hmm. look at them, like, you know, the fact that Daniel went off and he looked at schools in the UK and then he looked at schools in America.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a real emotional process, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And do kids tend to do that the summer before?
Yes.
Right.
Even sometimes for two summers before. So
wow.
I have a girlfriend whose daughter did it last year and she still has another year of school to go. So she did it last year and she'll do it this year. And for her, it's kind of a bit of a fun experience because she does it with her girlfriend who has a daughter the same age.
Okay.
And they all go off together on kind of like a little road trip.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Americans too do that thing that when you start university, the parents come back for that weekend and you have the parents weekend.
Yes, parents weekend. And there's,
and I think we're going to throw in a few articles, aren't we? But there's
there's a couple of good articles. One is from The Guardian and it's taken from the point of view of, first of all, the child going off to university and what the parents should and shouldn't do.
Right.
And then it's the response from the parents.
Right.
And I just loved that, you know, the kids said, "Don't exclude us." So, which I think is good for an expat kid because there's still going to be the family here and there might be siblings.
Yeah.
So keep them up to date with what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you know, don't exclude me.
I think about this a lot though. How does that hurt though? Like if, we're all out to dinner at your favourite restaurant tonight.
Do you know,
does that what?
I mean, I have no experience with older children, but for me personally, I hate it when my mum and dad don't tell me the little things that are going on. I feel more excluded that way. I would rather have the, we're at Lee's Fortuna tonight. Having dinner, it's your favorite place. I would rather know that and get that pang of than finding out a couple of weeks ago something minor happened, but they didn't
tell me.
At least
Fortuna.
Yeah. Or do you know, something minor happened and they didn't feel, we don't need to bother Sarah with that. Well, I'd rather be bothered with it.
Okay.
So maybe kids might feel the same way when they go off, you know?
It's such a lot for a kid to process, you know? Yeah. And that's what got me a lot. This week when I was talking to lots of kids and lots of parents about the experience, and the thing that really killed me was a lot of these kids have boyfriends and girlfriends in the mm-hmm. last year at school, and the whole time they're going out with these people, they know that there is a finite end to that relationship.
Bizarre.
And I think, Sarah, you and I are the same. We're both jealous people that would not do well with that, right?
No.
Like, there's no way in with my 17-year-old brain at that stage that I would have had...
Well, if I was 16 and had a 17-year-old boyfriend who was a year above me and going off to university knowing that the end was nigh and he was just like, see ya.
I'd be nuts.
I would... Oh, I can't... Knowing that he's having the... And from the movies that you watch and the TV shows that... He is just out there, you know, he's studying anatomy and he's not in a medical degree.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't cope.
Yes.
Whereas back home, if you do have a boyfriend that's a year older than you and he goes off to Sydney Uni or Charles Sturt,
you're not going to split up.
No.
You're gonna keep together.
Keep together.
I know. And these guys do. So it's a real thing of, you know, you have your high school boyfriend and then you have your college boyfriend. And, you know,
I would do.
What would you just
follow him. Like, you're going to University of Boston? Me too. You're pre-law? Me too.
Yeah, and I did ask Daniel about it, about, you know, how does that work? Like when you do have a girlfriend and, you know, you're both going to go off to different places and quite often go off to different countries, you know, like she's going to go to London and you're going to go to the States. And he said, well, you just learn to really make the most of it while you're together, you know, but you know that there is going to be an end.
Romeo and Juliet a little bit.
Oh, I think
it's breaking up because you don't love each other anymore.
No. I think it's such a big thing for a young kid to process. I would have struggled with it in my 20s.
Absolutely. And I think also as you get older, it would be, were they the one that got away?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, as you get older.
Yes.
Because if you haven't broken up because you don't like each other or love each other one anymore, it was just a location.
Do you just think, oh, I was just young? I don't know either.
I don't know.
I do know, though, that the person I went out with when I was 17 was not the person I would have gone out with when I was 25.
Hell no.
Okay, so let's talk about podcasts and Instagram and blogs and whatever, just very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So what was yours, Sarah?
My favourite blog this week is an Aussie blogger called Styling Curvy. Now, I've never met Jenny in real life, but we've connected online and we've just become friends.
I could completely see that. Yeah,
I think maybe it was because she was short hair and she was curvy that when I started blogging, I was like, oh, she's like me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And she's from my hometown.
Yeah, she is. So she's an Adelaide girl. She's very outspoken and she tells it how it is. And I like that.
First time I ever saw her was when she made a video about people being nasty online. And I just thought she was amazing.
Yeah, and she's done a post recently about people sharing alcohol on social media.
Oh.
And how she doesn't agree with it. And why do you have to get through, you know, why do you have to Instagram your cocktail at the end of the day to get through the hard day that you've had?
So how does that work then with there's a blogger called Sonia Styling.
Yes, and they're friends. And she does Sonia Styling Happy Hour. And I read it and I was like, oh, Jen, I can't believe you've written this. But I like that she does because she stands up for what she believes and she tells it how she how it is.
And she
survived breast cancer.
Right.
And she talks about her journey through cancer and she talks about her childhood. She had a bit of a rough childhood. And then at the same time, she shares amazing outfits that she wears. Yes. And she's just,
she's cool.
Really like, I can't wait to meet her in real life.
Right. Is she going to Pro Blogger this year?
I think she might be.
Okay.
So give her a hug.
I'll track it down and give her a hug for you. Mine is a little podcast called Writing Excuses.
Oh.
And it's a 15-minute podcast.
Yep.
So it's a nice little quickie if you ever want to.
Remember when we started out saying we'll just have a quick podcast?
Sorry about that, everyone.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, who would have thought we didn't know when to shut up? So Writing Excuses, quick sort of 15-minute podcast with all sorts of different writing tips. So this is really just one if you are planning on writing. I have recently got back into writing my book.
Oh.
I know. I went and had a coffee with an author here.
Yeah.
And we were chatting away and she asked me about the book and I haven't talked about the book for years. You know,
You've never even spoken about your book to me.
Haven't I?
No.
So, well, just very quickly.
What's it about?
Okay, so when I started blogging, about sort of 6 months after I started blogging, I had an email from HarperCollins saying, would you like to write a book?
Yeah.
Or would you be interested? And I had no idea if I would be interested or not. And because of that, I sort of started talking to a few people about it. And someone said, oh, well, if HarperCollins were interested, you know, maybe some other people would be interested. Perhaps you should talk to an agent. And so about sort of 6 months after that, I went and spoke to some people at Curtis Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed a contract with them saying, yes, I would write a book. This was 4 years ago.
This is all news to me.
Yeah, this is the thing. I do not talk about it
No, you don't.
And so I started, one of the things I had to do that was I had to write a chapter outline. So I wrote 26, there were 26 chapters and I wrote the chapter outline and submitted that. Yep, it's good. Off you go. And I proceeded to write about four chapters, thought it was incredibly boring, didn't enjoy it and just stopped.
Right.
And just didn't do it again.
Yeah.
And every time I've gone back to it and looked at it, I've just gone, no, I don't like it. Like I could punch out a 500-word blog post every day easily, but the whole idea of this arduous, long story and the whole...
And is the story expat focus?
Yes.
Fiction or non-fiction?
It's a Four Kids, 20 Suitcases sort of... it's like the blog turned into a book.
Right.
And so it is more... you know, this is from the day we left to the day we arrived in Qatar is when it stops.
Yeah.
So I just kind of left it. And for about a year, people pestered me saying, you know, how's the book going? What's happening with the book? Whatever. And then eventually people just stopped asking. And I just pretend it never happened. The one thing I have going for me book-wise is years ago when I used to email all the, these long, lengthy emails, years before I had a blog, my mum used to print them out for my dad, and my dad saved them all in like little plastic pockets.
Your memories change and your memories fade over the years to remember.
I literally have two big, fat, you know, folders full of the emails I've sent my mum and dad. Fantastic. I know, isn't he sweet?
Yeah, that's cute.
It's very cute. So I went for coffee with my girlfriend, who's an author, recently, and she kind of dared to ask about it and said, you know, what did ever happen with that book? And I said, all right, it's just really boring. I don't like it. And it feels to me like it's just, and then we went and did this, and then we went and did that, and it doesn't flow. And she kind of gave me this great idea, which was very obvious and very simple. I'm so embarrassed I didn't think about it. And so I said, you know, well, no, you could write it like this and you could do this. And since she has said that, I've been back writing it. It's changed everything about how I feel.
So you've got a new lease on life with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still going to take me ages because we do have a bit on at the moment. Just a little bit. But, yeah, I will keep plodding along. So that answers that question.
That's really exciting. Yeah. Can I have an autographed copy when it's published?
Of course you can.
Can I have a book signing party?
Yeah, of course you can. But my girlfriend Christina says that the book signing party has to be somewhere exotic as well.
Can we do it like a black and white themed ball? Like, what's his name? Truman Capote. Capote? He had a black and white ball.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm sure I will be just like Truman Capote. Okay, anyway, I think we're done.
Yes.
Are we done?
We're done. So have we covered everything?
I think
have we offended anyone?
Probably with the
whole food culture. You know what will happen now?
What?
Something will happen. Sadie will be an absolute wreck and everyone will go back to this episode idea where it's just like, oh, I just love your kids and I love you and everything will be fine. Something will happen. She'll be an absolute wreck.
And they'll say, see, it was her fault.
Yes.
Yeah, she broke that child.
Yes.
And that other one with the four kids, she was never interested. The one thing I want to say is I don't know if you've noticed this, but we have disappeared from the new and noteworthy on iTunes.
Heartbreaking.
It was very heartbreaking.
But is it because we're not new anymore?
I think it's because we're not new, because our stats are still increasing, but because we're not new, we don't pop up. So we really, I know this is annoying that we ask people every week, can you please, 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 but we need people to just leave us a rating or a review. It's just a matter of clicking a star. Mm-hmm. We prefer it if you click five.
Yeah. Five is a good number.
Yes. Yeah. But we just
leave a nice note.
It's the only way we kind of pop up in people's memory. It's really hard to get a podcast out there. So if
especially because the whole podcasting thing is still getting ready to take off. Like we're into it.
Yeah.
But still a lot of people don't really understand it.
And because we're two women sitting in a wardrobe, we're not at the ABC or we're not, you know, at some studio.
No.
Yeah, we don't kind of have the same thing going for us in publicity wise.
Yes, that's right. It's just us.
Yes.
We're the machine.
And your knickers and handbags.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.